Well, I think there's already something for us to take note of this morning is through the singing, a thought of grace has really been there. When we think about what he did for us just so we could have his grace, it ought to cause us to be overwhelmed at just how much love he has for us. I invite you to turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And we are going to look at an instance in the Gospels where we could definitely see the grace of God in a great picture. Mark chapter 10, we are going, when we get to that, we are going to be looking down at verse number 46. But I have a question for you before we look at our text. The question is, what do you do when Jesus comes your way? What do you do? How many of you think that when something happens that there's always a reason? We've heard of fate. We've heard of the word luck and the ideas of that. Chance, in today's vernacular, it's very common for us to hear of people speaking of, you know, karma or what just comes back or that idea. The world often operates in one or two ways. One way is that things just happen for no reason and no plan. It's just how it happens. That's a very common way a lot of people think. The world also, there is a side of the world that thinks that there is a plan for everything and it's just the way it unfolds. Bible believers ought to understand that there is a plan. And for everything that happens, there is a purpose. We understand that God is in control. If something happens, he knows about it. There is nothing that happens that he doesn't know about it. I like the statement that I've heard a number of preachers say, but has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? He knows. But I ask the question, what would you do if Jesus comes your way? And I ask that for this reason. If Christ were to come your way, there must be a reason for it, wouldn't there? A plan, a purpose that God has in mind. There is always a reason for what he does and why he does it. So if he does something, would you want to be a part of it? What if Christ was doing something and you missed it because you didn't notice? Or because you didn't care? Or because there was too much distractions in your life? To where Christ was doing something, but you missed it. If Jesus came by, what would you do? If you're in Mark chapter 10... we're going to look at verse number 46. I'd invite you to stand in the honor of God's word if you are able to. But Mark chapter 10, verse number 46, the Bible says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with the disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And we heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. He began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Let's bow to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house. We thank you for your word and for your grace. And Lord, as we're looking at this instance in Scripture about what happened to a man when Jesus came passing by, Lord, it asks that you would pass by us. And Lord, as you touched him, that you would touch us. Help us, Lord, to see the truth that you have for us today. As you speak to us, may we respond as you desire. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I find this passage of Scripture, the story of something that happened, to be very interesting. And I can picture it in my mind as the Bible says Jesus left with his disciples and they're going down a road and they're passing by. And there was a man who is described as he had a name and it had his father's name. And this man was a blind man. He could not see. We understand from the Scripture that this is also a picture because Israel was blessed to have Jesus Christ the Messiah walking in the land, walking through their streets, walking amongst them, and yet they were blind and they did not know who he was. They did not understand his purpose. But literally, this man was blind. He had a great need. Yeah. Now, to be honest, I would not like to go through life without having sight. God has blessed me. I have sight and I have thanked him for it. He is a very gracious God. There are many people that go through life without things that we think are natural. I would have a hard time doing my job if I had no sight. I mean, I would. God has blessed me with a family, and I'm grateful for the chance to have children, to raise them, so that one day I might just, hey, God, here's what you gave me. I give it back. But to be honest, I like seeing them. It would be hard for me to do the things that I think I'm supposed to do if I would not be able to see. I'm just trying to let you understand a little bit, and I think all of us understand, sight is a big deal. My mom is legally blind. She has really no vision in one side. Well, after some surgeries, she actually can see better now, so she actually can drive. I remember they took her license away from her at some point because she could no longer tell the difference between a parking lot and a street. That was very difficult for her. But she can see, but I just remember growing up, she had these extremely thick glasses and she just could not see very well at all. Her sister was completely blind. She could see lights, kind of blotches everywhere. You'd never wanted to ask her to keep an eye on something because she would. Sight is it's a special thing. With my eyes, I can read the Word of God. With my eyes, I can see smiles. And I like to see smiles. With my eyes, I can see people. I can see what they're doing. I can see that they're thinking about things. I can see that they're needing. I can see people that I need to tell you about Christ. I use my eyes to minister. I feel as if I didn't have my eyes that I would need more people to minister to me and I would be less able to minister to others. But God's a gracious God, and I'm sure that I've known people that were blind, but were they such a witness. But this man was blind. In his society, there wasn't much he could do. He depended on the good graces of others to get him through the day, to get him through the week. And he'd heard stories of this man who was going about doing great miracles. He had heard stories about this man who was healing people. He had heard stories of this man who could even heal leprosy. Stories of this man who could cast out the devil. Stories of this man who could even bring people back from the dead. Now, if I heard stories of that man and I had such a need and I heard that that man was near, I don't think I would be silent. I don't think I would allow myself to be distracted by what was going on around me. I think if I heard that that man was here, I would want to see that man. I would want that man to pass by me. You understand with me? I would not want to sit there. Oh, he's going by? Oh, wow. I forgot to totally ask him. I have this problem. I should have seen if he could have helped me with it. How many times do we find ourselves there? That's, by the way, that's what happens when God's the last person we go to pray. When there's something going on in our life. And, did you think to pray? That's what happens. We let him pass by when he's the last resort. He should be the first person we go to. Not the last resort. But I got to tell you, this blind man, there was no eye specialist for him to go to. They hadn't invented certain laser surgeries. He had no options. We need to put it in our mind that when it comes to our spiritual conditions, saved or lost, if it's spiritual, and if we've got an issue, we have no options but God. And we often surround ourselves by things to lean on because, guess what? They make us feel better. They make us not notice what's really going on. They make it easier for us to cope. They make it easier for us to ignore the problem. They make it easier for us to think that we're okay. I tell you, I've stood in these pews during invitation time, and I have, whether or not I've said to myself, the words came across my mind, I'm okay. I'm okay. And I got to stop right there. This blind man by the highway side, he did not do what most of us do. Most of us say, I'm okay. And when we say, I'm okay, the Lord passes by. A broken heart, I'm okay. Sin in my life, I'm okay. I've got some problems over here. Oh, I'm okay. And the Lord passed by. And at the end, whether you're lost needing a Savior or a Christian just needing the touch of your friend to help you, when we say, I'm okay, he keeps on walking. I'll say this, though. Sometimes he's walking to get his 2x4. We say, I'm okay. But listen to this. There's some things that we need to understand about this situation. In this passage of Scripture, as we read, we understand that the blind man is there. He could not see. He had a need. He realized he was not okay. But to realize that you're not okay, this is what you first must have to realize. The first thing that we need to realize, if Jesus comes our way, and if there's something that we need him to deal with about, the first thing that we need to realize is, well, just who is Jesus? We need to realize who he is. Oh, we might not understand. We might understand who he is. We might picture who he is. We might have heard who he is. But to realize it is to make it real in your mind, real in your heart, real in your life. Is he real in your life? Do you know who Jesus is? I would hope you know who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? He is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. There is no life but through him. Jesus, he's the great I am. Remember, if we were to go back into Exodus with a burning bush, and Moses says, who shall I say sent me? And he said, tell him I am hath sent me, hath sent you. And then when we fast forward through the scriptures and get to the Gospels, when Jesus was dealing with the spiritual rulers of Israel, and when they asked him who he is, and he told them, I am. I am he. And they understood that he identified himself with the great I am, with the God of Abraham, with the God of Jacob, with the God of Isaac. That is who Jesus Christ is. He is the great I am. He is the self-existing one. That is who Jesus is. He's the creator. This whole life that we live, this whole world that we live on, everything is God's. Everything is his because he created it. Nothing is not his. He is the Lord of all. There are some that want to say that they are in charge of this, and there are some that want to say they own this. There are countries, there are kingdoms, there are nations that have rule over their sovereignty, but no matter how high someone think they is, I mean, no matter how low they think they are on the totem pole, because the lower is the more authority, no matter how much authority or power you think you might have, he's Lord of all. One day every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Jesus and that he did die. He is the Son of God. He did rise again. He's the Lord of all. He's the healer. Ever been wounded before? Well, he's the great physician. He knows how to heal. He knows how to calm the hearts and calm the minds because he's the healer. Jesus, he's my friend. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. No matter what goes on in your life, in this world, you know he is always there. Are we always there? He's the friend. Jesus, he's the answer. He's the answer. Politics isn't the answer. Sports is definitely not the answer. They blew another big lead yesterday. I'm a Mariner fan. I definitely need the healer in my life. He's the answer. So many times we get distracted of what's really going on, and we think that society is wrong because there's just so many bad people. No, Jesus is the answer. If people are making the wrong decisions, give them Jesus. If I'm making the wrong decisions in my life, it's because I'm not following Jesus enough. He's got the answer. The problem is we just don't pay attention to the answer. Jesus, he's the Redeemer. He is our strength. He is our help in time of trouble. He's the Word. He's our guide. He is our stay. He is our defender. He is our protector. He is our light. He's our advocate with the Father. He is our hope. He is the Savior. Listen, you understand what I'm saying? Jesus is our all. That is who Jesus is. And if we're a blind man waiting by the highway side, begging, desiring somebody to make our life just a little better than it is. And we understand that Jesus is coming along and he's going to pass my way. He is everything. I'm going to tell you what, I am going to do my best to make sure he hears my cry. And as we understand, this blind man started crying out to Jesus. Why was he crying out to Jesus? Because he understood who Jesus was. He understood that Jesus was the only person that could solve his problem. He understood that Jesus was the only problem who could actually give him an answer. Everybody else could just give him a pat on the back, make his little bucket ting. That's the best anybody else could do. And I tell you that, with that, that is the best that this world can do for you. That's the best that they can do for you. They can give you a pat on the back and they can make your little bucket go ding. That's the best. But that doesn't solve problems. Usually that just makes them feel better, not you. Jesus is the only one who can give us the answer. Jesus is the only one who can take blindness and turn it into sight. Jesus is the only one who can take our darkness and transform it into his light. Because that's what Jesus can do. This blind man understood that Jesus was the answer. He understands Jesus is the only one who can make a difference in his life. That's what he understood. Listen, if we understand who Jesus is, that is this first step in understanding, secondly, who we are. If we're not paying attention to who Jesus is, I guarantee you, you are not going to understand who you are. If I'm not having my eyes on Jesus, I'm not going to know who I am. I mentioned Jesus is the Word. Last week, Pastor was preaching on the laver. I was too busy out there not paying attention to him, so I didn't catch most of what he said on that morning. But I understand this is the laver that he was preaching about. It was the first one was built, and it was all polished and everything like a mirror. What happens when you look at a mirror? You see ourselves. And we understand with the laver, everything that was in the tabernacle was a representation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our mirror. He is the Word of God that reflects our image back to us so that we could see exactly what we are. But if we don't know who Jesus is, we're not going to be looking at him to find out what's my problem. See, this blind man understood who Jesus was, and when he understood what Jesus was and what Jesus could do, he was at this point in his life, I need him to pass by me because he can do something about me. When we understand who Jesus is and what Jesus can do, we understand that Jesus is the only one who can do something about our heart. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, Jesus Christ is the only one who could fix that. Religion can't make you get to heaven. Religion can make you feel like you might be getting some brownie points with God. But as I was talking to the teens in Sunday school, is God's not concerned about what you're trying to do if it is not what he's established, what you are supposed to do. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Jesus is the answer. He is the only way. If we understand that, we could realize who we are. Without knowing who he is, I said this, but make sure this is plain. Without knowing who he is, we cannot know who we are. And without knowing who we are, we won't have a reason to change. If we don't know who we are, that's where we get this idea of, I'm okay. I don't really need him to do anything in my life because, well, I came to church. No, I'm going to speak for myself. I'm not putting these thoughts into your, whoever, you, what's going on with you. But I got up this morning. I read my Bible today. I prayed. I came to church. I think I'm a pretty good Christian. I'm okay. Well, but really? I mean, is there something God's working on your heart about? Is there something God wants you to do? Is there something God's dealing with you about? It very well could be that most of us in this room, I guarantee you, about everybody in this room, I know God is working on your heart. Why? Because you're alive and you're here on this earth. God will stop working on your heart once you get up into heaven. Then God doesn't have to work on your heart anymore. But until you get to that point, until you get to that eternal graduation, God's got something he's going to work on us about. Every day, every week, every moment of our lives, the Holy Spirit of God is there, drawing you closer to God. But here's our problem. As people, we tend to be blind. And we don't see what God is doing, and that's usually because we don't recognize God when he passes our way. And sometimes we might recognize that, yeah, he is here, and we might, you know, start calling out to God. But what happened when the blind man started calling out to God? He started crying, and the people by him were like, whoa, don't you know how important he is? Don't you know how special he is? He does not have time to deal with you and your little problems. Does that voice sound familiar to you? Because I guarantee you, that's what Satan wants to whisper in our ears. The moment we start realizing, hey, I need God to do something about my heart. I've been struggling with these thoughts. I've been struggling with these attitudes. I've been doing things that I ought not to do. I've been thinking about this. And our pride can get lifted up. There's so many issues that we as people can have. But when we're confronted with God and who he is, he tells us, you better get that right. And when we start recognizing that, yeah, I better get this right, then distractions get in the way. People can get in the way. Satan can whisper into our ear that, no, you're okay. Don't you remember you read your Bible today? You talked to God today? You said something encouraging for a change today? I mean, you've done all of this good stuff today. I mean, you don't really need to do any more. But this blind man, when people started saying no, what did he do? He cried out the more. The more. Oh, you don't want me to talk to God? Okay. Well, I'm going to talk to him anyway. I'm going to cry out to him. Why? Because he is the only one with an answer. Amen. And we settle for no answers. We settle for nothing. So many times we settle for nothing. We settle for our amusements, maybe our entertainment, the things that distract us and make us think that, yeah, I guess everything is okay. If that blind man had done that, he would not have received his sight. The blind man understood because of who Christ was. He understood who he was, and knowing who God was, and knowing who he was, identified his need. We need to realize who God is. We need to realize who we are. And when we realize who we are, we then realize what we actually need. Because until we realize who God is, and until we see what he's doing in our life, until we understand that, we're never going to understand who we are or where we are. Without him being contrasted to our life, we're going to be okay. But once we are seriously under him and we understand, oh, this is who God is. If that's who God is, what am I doing over here? And when we're there, we realize, oh, I need this. I need a little more time with God in my life. I need more grace. I need more of God. I need less of me. I need to be able to see better. I mean, hey, I need to see better. In this world that we live in today, I need to have better, clearer vision. I need to understand how to make my decisions in such a way that I honor God and not just do what I think is right. Because sometimes I'm wrong. I mean, I'll admit that. Sometimes I'm wrong. But I get there when I just don't see him. We need to realize what we need. I like this story here, and we're just looking at verse number 50. He had called. He called. They told him, "Be quiet." He cried out the more, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee." Well, now they're on his side. And he casting away his garment. You know, that's such a picture there. When we know who we are in God's eyes, we need to silence the wrong voices. The people that are telling us, nope, God doesn't need to speak with you right now, you're okay. We need to silence those voices in our life and focus on Him. We also need to remove the wrong identifiers. He took off the weak and beggarly elements of this world, cast them aside, and He went to where God was. Sometimes we start trying to, I know I should be a Christian, but we don't remove the identifiers that identify us with the world. I'm not trying to belittle someone who was blind and could not do much, but understand with me, when he's laying by the highway side begging, his garments would have been dirty, his garments would have been muddy, dusty, nasty. But when he went to speak to God, he took that identifier of earthiness, worldliness, and he set it aside. Sometimes we need to do that. He's coming my way. I need to be where I can be more presentable to him. This doesn't match closeness with God, so I'm setting it aside and I'm going to the Savior. We need to get rid of the wrong voices. We need to get rid of the wrong identifiers. We need listen. We need to follow the right master. In Acts 26, verse 28, we read in that passage, that book, when Paul is dealing with Agrippa. And it's one of the saddest verses in the scriptures when he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." I tell you, that was one man who was listening to the wrong voices. And when Jesus was passing him by, instead of silencing the wrong voices, instead of ignoring or putting off the wrong identifiers, he kept all that stuff on him. And he says, "I don't need to be a Christian. I'm okay. But Paul, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian." That's one of the saddest stories in the Bible. But right here, right now, if Jesus was passing us by, what would you say? Would you be crying out to him? Would you be begging him, "Hey, I need you. I need you now. I need you to save me. I need you to strengthen me. I need your grace. I need your love. I need your forgiveness. I need your healing. God, I need you right here, right now. I'm blind. I need you." Is that where we would be? Well, I hope so. As Christ purposed himself to walk that path one day, he purposed himself because he knew the blind man was there, just as he knows where each of us are right now. He passed by on purpose. Who is he walking by today? We might need to ask ourselves, is Christ going to pass by today? If he does, will he just pass by me? Will he just go on? Will he pass by and leave me unchanged? That, my friends, is a dreadful thought. Many years ago, Fanny Crosby sat in a service and she saw God touching the lives of those that were around there. She saw God dealing with people. And she imagined, what if with all of these people that God is dealing with, what if he passes me by? The thought burdened her so much that it caused her to desire more closeness with the Savior. But then she wrote the words to a song that we often sing today. "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. That's somebody who understood the cry of a blind man. Now, as we sit here today, while on others thou art calling, our place should be, Lord, pass me not. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we'll have a moment of invitation, and I want us each to consider where we are as the Savior is passing by. He is a gracious God. He is a loving God. And He knows where each of us are. He knows those of us that are dealing with salvation that we might not know for sure if we have a home in heaven. And I encourage you, if you don't know for sure whether or not you are on your way to heaven, make this be the day where you don't let the Lord pass you by. And if you're dealing with spiritual issues and you just need God's hand on your life, well, He's passing by. Call out to Him. As the piano plays, just encourage you, the altar's open. Let's talk to God today.